Porchlight Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchlightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew.
This is episode 75, and have we got a lot of good stuff in this episode coming for you? Would you guys agree?
Indeed.
For sure. As always, of course.
Well, I didn't want to toot our own horn too much, but... Well, coming up, we've got an exciting newscast. We've got a review of The Dragon and the Raven from Heirloom Audio. We've got an update on our AIO trivia segment. We've got some feedback from you, the listener. So I think we just better get started. Let's kick things off with that aforementioned exciting newscast.
Indeed. Heirloom Audio announces one of their next audio dramas in the G.A. Hinty series will be The Cat of Bubastes. It is currently in post-production and is tentatively scheduled for release in spring 2016. The new team running the Jonathan Parks series has informed us that, quote, brand new albums are in the works, unquote. We'll share more info as it becomes available. The new audio drama collective, which we mentioned in episode 74, has launched a website. You can now learn more about the Audio Drama Alliance and even apply to join at audiodramaalliance.com. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy reporting for KATC 97 point, I mean, well, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, wow, did you think you were on a real radio station for a minute there?
I have mixed up. I was getting excited there.
You're carried away, huh?
Yes.
Well, I have one actual bonus news item about Heirloom Audio.
Ooh. Anything bonus about Heirloom Audio
is a good thing.
Exciting.
Well, hopefully, unless it's announcing their closure.
Right.
Oh, man, you guessed it.
Oh,
great.
Let's stop now.
No, actually, I don't have a whole lot of information, but they are actually in the planning stages of another series.
Whoa.
Ooh.
So not GA
Hinty. So non-GA Hinty stories.
You know, when I was reading the newscast, I was thinking... G.A. Hinty series, and it kind of just dawned on me that they could do a whole nother series.
Mm-hmm.
Aha!
Well,
that would be amazing.
Yes, and now this, I'm not sure if it's related or if this was exclusively meant for the Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Hinty series, but John Fornoff also told me that they are going to kick up production for 2016 to 4 releases.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Bring them on.
So, it's so exciting.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad. Whew.
Oh, man.
Can't wait.
They just do amazing. This is going to be like the Heirloom Audio episode.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to give a quick shout out to Michael, a guy from my church who just recently discovered the podcast. He's a friend of mine, and we've never really talked about it before, but he recently discovered it, and he's really enjoying it, so just wanted to give him a shout-out real quick. And he said that he really loves the blooper reels that we do at the end of the episodes. So, you guys need to make more mistakes so we can... Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, because that's more I have to edit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that.
But, so thanks, Michael, for the feedback, and we'll try to make some more mistakes for you. Let's jump into this review. I'm super excited to talk about this one.
Yes, or as Andrew would say, I'm uber excited to talk about this one.
Yes, that's right. Uber is a big part of my vocabulary.
You take those cars often?
No, I drive people in them often. Oh.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about The Dragon and the Raven. It is the 4th release from Heirloom Audio's The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Hinty series, released late 2015. It's about 2.5 hours long, and it is 2.5 hours of action.
I mean,
it is so – I think this one probably has more action than some of the other ones, wouldn't you say?
It seems like it's nonstop. It seems like it starts out with action, it continues with action, and it ends up with action. It's all over the place. There's not a whole lot of
a lot of fighting
quietness that goes on. But so there are some. Yeah. Some reflection and conversations and such.
And I will say this, not that it's a bad thing or anything, but I was thinking of like, oh, let's listen to something, you know how it is. You're just wanting to listen to something. And I was thinking, oh, Jay Hinty. And I was like, no. There's too many, like, I didn't want to hear fighting scene, you know, because, like, everything that they've done so far is all battle.
That's true.
And so that's the only thing, you know, and I know it's history and I know it's that's part of it, but, you know, it's just a little thought I had that I mentioned. But I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah, I get that. Sometimes you're just not in the mood to listen to fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, before we get too far into this. Yeah. Andrew, would you do us the honors?
Andrew, and you got to read this certainly, like Brian Blessed would read it.
Yeah, good luck with
the
that.
The Danes have swept over every kingdom in England.
That's pretty good. Now you just need an English accent.
I know. It'd
be good to right? go. The Danes have swept over every kingdom in England, laying waste to everything in their path. Join Edmund and the one man who is willing to stand against the invaders, the young King Alfred of Wessex. From standing in the shield wall to sailing on the whale road, Alfred and Edmund realize the nation's only hope is to turn back to the god they have abandoned. Can the two young warriors turn the tide of the war and save their world?
Now, we're going to try to keep this spoiler-free because I have recently learned that we have a lot of listeners who listen to the show, but they haven't heard a lot of the stuff that we talk about.
Yes. Ah.
So... And we've always tried to do that anyway.
Yeah.
But except for like Odyssey, because we know everybody listens to the Odyssey episodes. Right. So
yeah.
It's not a big deal with that. But well, let's actually listen to a quick summary of this one because it'll give you a little bit more of a flavor of what you can expect from this incredible Dragon and the Raven.
The Norsemen came. From over the world.
The fear is spreading like a shadow.
Wolves seeking fame and gold.
The Danes are now pouring over our borders, laying everyone and everything to waste in their path.
To challenge the Danes.
Edmund, our world could be coming to an end.
Only one king stands against them. Alfred, the young King of Wessex.
He stood... amidst the throng.
Father in heaven, we look to you to raise up your standard.
Discover the power of faithfulness and covenant. Discover The Dragon and the Raven. The exciting audio adventure from Heirloom Audio. Featuring John Rhys-Davies from The Lord of the Rings, Helen George from Call the Midwife, and Brian Deacon, star of the Jesus film. Go to thedragonandtheraven.com.
Go to dragonandtheraven.com.
Yeah.
I think that for science, I need to get a really expensive pair of headphones because it sounds so much better listening to it in headphones than it does.
It really does.
Off of my iPhone speaker.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew. You're a horrible audiophile.
No, we have a like an AirPlay speaker that we use.
Oh, yeah.
But it still is, it's stereo, but it's only in one place. So it's like.
Yeah.
Not stereo.
Mm. Yeah. But when you do buy headphones, make sure you get a good balance. Don't go and get some Beats. Okay.
No.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't want those for audio drama.
Yeah. Get some flat listening headphones.
Yes.
I went into Target several months ago and was
great place
testing out all of their Bluetooth speakers and stuff. So I thought, what better to test on these speakers than The Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Hinty.
Yeah.
So I found a really good scene in Under Drake's Flag because I had it on my phone and I connected into one of the Bose speakers. Oh my word. It sounded so amazing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And I just let it play and walked away from that aisle and just let it play for a little while. People were walking around looking. It was awesome.
They're probably looking for the movie screen.
I know. That's what I was going to say too. Yeah. Probably looking for the screen.
So good. Now, when I first heard this trailer, when they originally released it, you know, months and months ago, I couldn't understand why there was a song in there. Because they have never done anything like that before in their trailers. And I'm like, that's just really odd. But then when you hear the drama, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of thrown off by that. And it didn't, the trailer actually really didn't draw me in as much because the song really doesn't tell you much about what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
So.
Obviously, the song fits in the story when it comes in, but yeah. As a trailer piece, it's a little odd, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think it was the best choice. And I can't believe this. I've never really had any much negative to say about the G.A. Hinty productions, but this, it really, I don't think it worked, but that's just me. What do you think, Roy?
I think everybody thought that. I
thought of the song?
Yeah, I don't
know. In the trailer itself.
In the trailer only. Yeah. As a trailer, it was kind of odd.
I thought it was different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, I guess you got to try something new and see what happens, yeah. I guess.
For sure.
I do. Going to the drama itself, I liked the songs in it. And then, you know, the Danes had their song and then the Saxons had their songs. And I don't think I've ever said, I've been meaning to say this about G.A. Hinty before, but I think that would even like push it over the top for me is more like songs.
Yeah, but you're a musical guy.
I know. And I was going to say that, you know, I am into music and stuff and I like music and shows, but.
Yeah. And I don't have anything against musicals. I enjoy them myself too, but sometimes I'm not really in the mood for it, but this was definitely not a musical. I'm not trying to draw that comparison at all, but
right.
I really, really liked the little bits. It really, really fit that era, that the way the story flowed, it fit. So let's go through some of the crew members real quickly because we always want to recognize the genius behind these amazing stories. John Fornoff, producer, director, and writer, just a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't write the last one with Lee and Virginia, and so I was kind of glad to see him writing again because I really, really like his writing. John Campbell, of course, the amazing composer behind this music. There was a couple points in the music, though. It sounded very much like something from an Odyssey episode to me.
Really?
That's funny. Like, I never...
Some of the more epic Odyssey episodes, but it was interesting.
That. Yeah, funny. I didn't either. That's funny. Huh.
And Rob Jorgensen, sound design, recording engineer, and Mark Drury helping out there with sound design and Foley.
Always so good.
It's so good. And I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but I really, really love the cover art for the Hinty.
Yeah. Who does that?
Yeah. Who's the artiste?
The package design is done by Steve. I'm not sure if it's Tyrell or Terrell. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but I just love it. It's really cool. And I love how they always work in the flag or a banner or a standard, as we heard often referenced in this episode or in this show. But it's really, really good. I love it.
And they all kind of have the same style. In a way, I like it.
And it's kind of cool to see Philip Glassboro still being credited on things. You know, that's pretty awesome. I mean, it's like he's directing and he's doing the casting and on the London side. So it's really cool that they managed to partner up with him, even though he retired.
Well, I'm sure
he retired from acting.
He retired from acting.
Yeah.
Actually, Philip Sherlock retired from acting.
Right. Yeah. In order to do more of this, right? More directing.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't know this for sure, but I think he's probably one of the major reasons why they're able to connect with all of these
big name London actors.
Right.
I think so.
And tapping into the experience that he's had with Focus on the Family Radio Theater over the years and bringing in. So, because you look at the cast list, a lot of these names are ones that we've heard before in Lamplighter Theater and like Mervyn Stutter. I mean, he's been in so much stuff over the years.
And we're adding a new big name to the next one. I don't know if anybody has noticed this or has seen this yet. We could probably throw this in the news portion, but I'd forgotten about it until just now. So we'll add in another news segment. As a rather big Star Wars fan here, I think it's super cool that with their story about ancient Egypt that's coming up, they have the actor who played C-3PO from Star Wars, Anthony Daniels, who is a huge name.
Whoa.
Especially in British acting. But, of course, from his Star Wars work, that's obviously his biggest thing because it's so huge. But I thought that was really cool that they pulled somebody that big. And it's also kind of interesting because Focus on the Family Radio Theater pulled Andy Serkis. in as Screwtape in the Screwtape Letters, and he is now a character in the new Star Wars, so it's kind of funny.
Nice.
With that, he's like the big, huge bad guy in the new Star Wars stuff that's going on, and so he has that voice that we all know and love as Screwtape, right? And he's putting it to good use. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Well, and like I said, a lot of these other names, like Stuart Pindred was the character of Egbert, and he's the vocalist who sings that song there that's in the trailer. He did an amazing job with that character. And for those who may not know, Stuart Pindred was the lead character of William Wallace in Freedom's Cause.
I thought the voice sounded familiar.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Aha.
And it's kind of interesting because Egbert, although he has that big singing scene, he's not a major character. So I think it probably works well putting him back in as some more minor character.
Exactly.
Had he been a major character, I'm sure everybody by the end would have noticed, hey, that guy sounds really, really familiar.
Right.
But for me, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. So. Well, and he's not doing a Scottish accent either.
True.
So.
That's true.
And another familiar name that we all know, John Rhys-Davies.
Yeah,
our Lamplighter announcer.
Also another huge British actor. Well, he's not huge. I mean, you know, he's probably average height. But, you know, he's a very big name.
In that character that he played of Siegbert, there were several times when, for some reason, the way he was personifying that character and the way his voice was coming out, I thought, man, that sounds like Hal Smith doing some of those old characters in like the Bible episodes or something like that.
I thought the same thing.
Really?
Seriously? Just last night. I was like,
call Odyssey now.
No, but he sounded like, you know, when Hal Smith used to do those deep voices?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of someone to watch over me when
exactly.
when he does the pirate voice and all that. I was like, whoa.
I wish I had a clip of that right now, and I would pull it up. But yeah, because it really, really did.
Yeah.
Does anybody know if John Rhys-Davies can do a good American accent?
Wow, that's crazy you would say that, because I had that fleeting thought just last night when I was listening to it again. I was like, what?
That's
wait
really
a second.
Funny.
Or like some of the voices that he did for, I think it was like the Pilgrim's Progress Revisited, or you know, where they had all those.
Sure.
It really did. I'm like, wow, that is crazy.
Wow, that's great. Huh.
That's interesting that you picked up on that, too.
We found the new Mr. Whitaker.
Johnny Scott played Edmund, another main character. And then another familiar name through Lamplighter Theater and other productions is Dominic Hecht, who played Alfred. Now, Dominic Hecht was the actor who played the lead role in Titus, A Comrade of the Cross. That guy is a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, that's really cool.
In the show notes, there's a photo of him as he was recording his lines for Alfred, so be sure to check that out.
Oh, cool.
AudioTheaterCentral.com/75. But let's jump into some of the scenes that really stood out to us and some of the things that we really, really enjoyed about this production. This was a huge cast. In comparison to some of the other ones, I'm not sure if the number is similar or not, but it just seems like there was just a lot of characters in this one.
Yeah, and a lot of old English names.
Yeah. And to be honest, like my wife and I were talking about it yesterday, and it made it difficult to follow a little bit, like who's who and all that stuff. Like it wasn't terrible, but it made it feel slower at the beginning than it really was, just because you're like trying to track, okay, who is this? What's... You know, because the names are so unfamiliar to us. But that was really the only complaint, I guess. And it's historical, so they had to do it that way and had no choice. So I'm fine with it. It's just it made it a little difficult at times to follow.
All the heralds.
Yes. Many heralds.
Were mentioned, but not necessarily characters.
Yeah.
So that was but in the beginning there, or at least in the first probably 30 to 40 minutes, there were several, you know, you're just trying to get used to a lot of the characters. So you have Edmund and Harold and Egbert and Algar and all of these. And so when you had that first battle scene, I'm like, oh, who's who here and what's going on? And, you know, that was a little bit hard to follow at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I listened through. I always try anything when we review, I try to listen to multiple times.
Oh, definitely.
I want to make sure I'm being thorough.
Definitely.
So the second pass through, I had no trouble at all. But it was that first time through, probably, like I said, the first 30 to 40 minutes, I did have a little bit of trouble. And then there's a lot of names in there that start with Ethel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ethelbert and Ethelred
and Ethelwyn. And
yeah. So that was a little bit confusing. And even at this very moment, I don't remember who it was who on all
oh,
of those.
Oh, for sure. You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But back to the bookend, which we always like. It's a thing that Lamplighter started, I guess you could say. And we sure. always loved the bookends. And they're doing the similar thing here. And, you know, I've kind of groused about Ned and Gerald a little bit in the past, but I think I'm kind of getting used to them, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good. And, of course, they had to make a sort of break from that last time because they were in America, so it was a little different. But maybe that helped break it up a little bit. I don't know, but I like the whole Ned and Gerald and how they've kind of changed, and now they're all – both of them are into history now and really like the stories and everything. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Mr. George, which of course we know is Brian Blessed portraying G.A. Hinty, he has to come up with different names that sound more like old English names. And I love that scene where he's coming up with the names and he decides to call Gerald Harold. And Gerald yeah. is not too happy about that.
Exactly.
So he offers his own suggestion. And of course, G.A. Hinty says, or how about Harold?
Yeah.
It's just, right. Yeah. Brings it right back
it's
around.
Really funny. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite. No, I can't say that's one of my favorite, but I really, really liked yeah. that scene.
It was funny.
It was funny, yeah.
Now, one of the scenes that really stood out to me was the monastery scene, and I don't want to give away too much here if you haven't heard it, but there's basically just chaos happening at this monastery where the main character, Edmund, his uncle, is the abbot at this monastery, and his yes. name is Theodore. That scene was just... It was both riveting and heart-wrenching. I mean, it is yep. really, really well done.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to play it because I don't want to give it away because you have to hear it, though. I mean, it's so good.
Does anybody know if they did any on-location recording?
I didn't hear anything about that for this one, so I don't know.
Possibly not, then, I guess. I mean, I'm sure that that's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes sense that they won't be able to do it every time.
There was one line that... Theodore had, who again was the abbot, he is speaking to his brother, which is Eldred, and that is Edmund's father. And he said, Eldred is kind of a little bit losing his faith because it seems like they're losing. The whole country has been overtaken by these Danes.
Who are pagans, right?
Exactly.
That's kind of the point of yeah. a lot of the story is that it's this like paganism where they don't even believe. I mean, they have their pantheon of gods, just like the Romans and blah, blah, blah. But, you know... They're beating the Christians, right? I mean, the pagans are winning. So mm-hmm. that's where he's losing his faith a little bit, because why should they be winning?
Right. And so he just refers to the scriptures as poetry. And Theodore says, this is more than poetry. The scriptures give us life. And I just really loved that whole scene and that line in particular.
Yeah, it was yeah. really good.
Going back, I had a thought, going back to on-site recording, are you talking about yeah. to get the sound of the...
Yeah, the sound effects.
Well, they do have software now, and it's like basically you go into a cathedral or any place, and then you just like, they play like a sound and then record it on a mic, and they can get the like time delay and the response and everything. And then that gives you the like...
Basically like a template for using that.
Yeah, like that reverb. Yeah, exactly. And then that's put like into software, and then you can share those. Like, so people go around recording places.
Sure.
And all I have to do is like, I'm here in America, and I can pick up the sound of the cathedral in this place.
In wherever, this because it's genuinely the sound. Yeah,
the time delay.
Really cool. Yeah.
That is really neat.
I don't know if that's what they did, sure, but I'm just sure. saying that's an option.
That is actually really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, and one of the scenes that really kind of kicks things off, because it's within the first 20 minutes of the drama, is they're already in... A huge battle.
Yeah.
And there's something that was very unique about the way the Danes fought. And they begin to sing before they would attack. And then, well, let's just let you listen to what happens.
We swung our soul as the raven flew. As the glitter spears and the crimson hue. We shall come by sea. We shall bring dark woes. Feeding on the blood.
Now came
of a sound Edmund had never heard before. The sound of the mighty Danish army as they struck their swords on their shields, all in unison. Each beat drove fear deeper into Edmund's heart. And now, with a tremendous shout, the Danes rushed as one upon the Saxons.
Man, I tell you what, when I first heard this, like, I got chills.
Yeah, up and down. Exactly.
That was just incredible. And just, it's like really put my mind, and I could just picture myself just standing there and like hearing that, you know, and like that's coming towards you. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
No fear. No fear.
How scared would you be?
So I have a question for you, Roy.
Okay.
In your picture, where were you standing? Because in mine, I was up on the hill with Edmund.
Yes, me too. I was not in the shield wall. I'll give you that. That's very true.
That was funny.
Which is good. It's good that they set the scene from that angle because it was a nice cop out for everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we're hanging out here with the guy we know is going to survive.
Yeah. I'm gonna climb up here in this tree and watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was an amazing scene. And it was just interesting. I mean, I honestly did not know this story from history at all.
Me neither.
I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
So it was all brand new to me, and it was really, really great. Now, there was one character that and this is so cool how they always seem to work something small into this, because there is nothing in the majority of these G.A. Hinty stories that has any humor in them.
You know,
these are serious battles and wars and all this kind of stuff. So to add a few moments of levity, they have to do something. And so there's a recurring character who is an Edgar the Messenger.
Yes.
And
oh yeah, I love this guy.
He is so good. It is awesome what he does. Your first exposure to him is he's bringing a message to Edmund from King Alfred, and he just keeps escalating the seriousness of Alfred's demeanor, and it's just so humorous. And he keeps that pattern up throughout the entire thing. It's so funny.
And I recognized his voice, too. He definitely played a dwarf. Yeah. He was Trumpkin, yeah, from
Prince Caspian,
exactly.
Radio Theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I knew I recognized his voice. I couldn't place it. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
He was played by Chris Emmett.
For sure.
In one particular scene, Alfred is showing Edmund a game board that was created by the Danes, and I can't remember what it was called.
Me neither.
It sounded so interesting. It sounded kind of like a cross between like chess and Stratego or something like that.
Yeah, it sounded really interesting for sure.
I would love to know if that game is still around somewhere because it sounds so fun.
Yeah, it does.
As I mentioned a few moments ago, we rarely have anything negative to say about the G.A. Hinty, and I feel kind of bad to say this, but there was one other thing in this one that really, I mean, it leapt out at me as like, that makes no sense.
Hmm.
There is this particular scene. The Saxons are beginning to take the battle to the Danes instead of sitting back and taking a defensive posture. So they're going on the offensive, and they attack. Edmund and his men attack a group of Danes who are camping down for the night. Listen to this scene and see if you guys can pick up on what jumped out at me.
The men crept silently along the ground.
On Edmund's signal,
the bowmen silently released a quick shower of arrows. All at once, the sentries fell without a sound.
The sentries fell without a sound.
Okay.
I don't know.
He says they crept silently.
I heard
you hear
that
all
too.
This.
Yeah.
And then the bowmen shot silently. And then they fell without a sound. I'm like, what?
That's
I don't
funny.
Get that.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, I have no idea why they did that.
Well, they didn't cry out. I think that was what they meant by didn't make a sound. Like, they didn't yell or anything when they got hit.
Yeah, I guess.
And can you not make an arrow not make the sound?
And I got the impression that the noises were being made by the Danes, not by the Saxons. Like, the grunting and grumbling and whatever, that was the Danes.
Well, they were supposedly sleeping. It was night.
I thought they were partying.
I thought it was were all down for the night, and they attacked him in the nighttime.
Yeah, they did attack him in the nighttime, but I get the feeling that they
So you just say So then Giahinti just wouldn't say silently. He would just say.
Or just take out the. I mean, it's only a few seconds long. Why even have the sound effects? You know, just let him narrate that little portion. If it's supposed to be creeping silently and silently shooting, and I don't know, it's not a huge deal. Yeah. It just jumped out at me. I'm like, oh, that's
funny.
Weird.
That is funny.
I didn't notice that, I have to say, for sure.
And another thing that was kind of cool is how Alfred is, he's not only this very courageous and valiant man who's not afraid to go out there and fight, but he's also very intelligent. He is a thinker, and he knows how to puzzle things out in his mind and come up with new ideas and new approaches and things like that. But he's also, I guess, very academic too. I mean, educated, and he loves poetry and
reading and
And he loves to write poetry. And I thought that one particular poem about the standard was really beautiful. And I loved that.
Yeah. And what's cool is the basis for his wanting all of his subjects to be literate was so that they could read the Bible. It wasn't, you know, so they could read whatever they wanted. It was about reading the Bible. That was the whole point.
Yep.
Because they had lost their way. I thought a lot of the discussions about the people losing their way and having turned away from God and now they were losing, you know, because of that and all this was very relevant to today.
Mm-hmm.
I saw so many parallels in the societal like rot that was happening.
It's true. And even some of the reviews on their website, some of the people mentioned that, like, this is from today, you know, stuff like that. So,
yep.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even funny too, because it's like, the battle against these pagans is really similar to like the battle against secularism today, right? Like fighting to retain the whole foundational values of Britain and the United States, right? I mean, David Cameron, who's the Prime Minister of England right now, has made a point of giving his Christmas and Easter messages, you know, emphasizing the fact that Britain is a Christian nation, but he gets a lot of flack for that. And we don't have that luxury here of a leader who says those kind of things. But, you know, it's really, really interesting that they would put this out and have this kind of discussion when it's really germane to what's happening right now.
Yeah.
German?
Yeah.
No, speaking of the Danes.
Yeah.
No, and I think the Danes. I think that was intentional.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, well, it seems like with every like one of their stories, there's that underlying, you can feel, you know, like...
Yeah.
Well, in Freedom's Cause, right? Yeah. It was the same exact thing, and had that feeling of like, wow, you could have like pulled this out of today's headlines, you know, and just not the story, but the underlying lessons about fighting for freedom and, you know, not bowing to the tyranny of the king or whatever. It was really, really good. I really liked hearing that kind of message in an audio drama. That's what I really like about Giahinti. And I think that's the whole point of what Heirloom Audio is doing, is not only it's trying to help us learn from history, lest we be doomed to repeat it, right? That's the whole idea.
Yep.
So there's such a purpose behind it. I really like it. And then, of course, there was the idea that, just from a historical perspective, that this event was so huge in our history, in our nation's history. Like, if you trace events back, had the Danes defeated the British, and they basically had, right? It basically came down to this little band of men who did the impossible. So it's really interesting that if you kind of project history back, it would be similar to, like, if Hitler had won in World War II, right? Everything would have been different about life today.
Mm-hmm.
And had the Danes defeated the Britons, you would most likely have no United States, right? It's like there would be no USA had they lost here. Just like with under Drake's flag, had the Spanish Armada defeated Britain, you probably wouldn't have the United States as we know it today. So it's really interesting, because I genuinely believe that it was the hand of God in orchestrating events.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's great, because they always have that undertone of, this is an amazing story from history, but you can take these lessons from this history and apply it today. So I'm completely behind what Heirloom Audio is doing with this series. There's one more clip that I wanted to play. There's a scene where Alfred, who is a Saxon king, one of the last ones, if not the last, and he is speaking to one of the Danish kings who has, after this 14-day siege on the castle that the Danes have taken over, he finally meets with him, and there's a clip from this conversation that I want to play that it was so awesome. And this King Guthrum is played by Stephen Greif, which is another name that we hear a lot from the previous audio dramas. He was a big part of Sir Knight of the Splendid Way, if I remember correctly. So let's listen to that.
You know what we do to kings once we capture them.
I know how your men tortured King Edmund and those before him.
I would have done the same to you. Gladly.
I was prepared.
Your God offers mercy, but my God demands blood.
So does mine. Only my God gave his own for us. For you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's excellent. And that was a perfect response, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know if that's in the book, because, again, I think I've mentioned this in the past. I've never read any G.A. Hinty books.
Right.
Although I'm a pretty avid reader, and I never have. I don't know why.
Well, I had never even heard of them before Heirloom Audio.
Yeah, so. I hadn't either. So I don't know if that line is from the original book. If not, then kudos, John Fornoff. That is amazing.
Yeah, seriously, that was
a really powerful
excellent scene.
And
it fits the history, so even if the line wasn't in the book, it fits, right? So it really is cool.
Yeah. And another moment of levity is how Harold keeps, you know, making reference to how it's such a common name, and there's always all these different Harolds, and he is the one that is pretty much unknown, and nobody knows who he is. And then at the very end, there's this scene where somebody comes up to him and says, "Are you Harold of Lincolnshire?" And he said, "Well, yes." And turns out that this kid who had admired him is also named Harold. Yeah. Like, that is such an awesome scene.
Yeah, it's really funny.
To wrap this thing up, what else can you say? This is a phenomenal audio drama.
Yes.
That you must
hear.
Well,
we didn't even get into The Dragon and the Raven.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
they're ships.
Yeah.
There.
Yep. There you go. We covered The Dragon and the Raven.
Track two.
It's such a big part of the story. We don't really want to touch it that much, yeah, lest we spoil anything. So
it's only the title of this whole thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But
which I will say this, when I first heard the title, I thought, that is such an odd title.
Me too. I mean, and you won't understand until
it makes no sense.
Almost till like track two. Then you'll get it.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. Or CD2.
Yeah, which is really interesting because like we said, the story isn't slow. Like, it starts out with action and everything, but at the same time, like, it takes a long time to get even to the title of the story.
Yeah.
So, but I really like the long audio dramas, so.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
So, again, you must get this. If you haven't heard it already, you must. It is phenomenal. I mean, everything that, if you don't have the G.A. Hinty series at all, You have to have them. I mean, why not?
Yes, yes, yes.
What are you waiting for? Yes, there's a link in the show notes. Go get it right now.
Yes, 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 yes.
Imperative.
Yes, yes, yes. What doth hinder thee?
And if you have already heard it, then leave your comments in the show notes. We'd love to see what your favorite scenes were from this audio drama. AudioTheaterCentral.com/75 and post a comment or send some feedback via email. All right, guys. So we have made some progress on getting this AIO trivia segment together, and I had an idea that I wanted to share with the listener. So, are you guys ready for this?
All right.
Sure.
All right. I've been trying to come up with a name of what we can call this segment, and honestly, I've been drawing a blank, and I've been mulling this over for a long time and trying to think of something. And so, I thought, all right, we're going to toss this out to the listener and see if they can come up with something cool. I would love for the title of this AIO trivia segment to have some kind of a reference to Odyssey, preferably not like an episode name or something like that, but something that would refer to a quiz or trivia or, you know, something along those lines. You know, I thought my initial reaction was kind of like a did you know kind of a thing.
Sure, yeah.
But I know that Austin Peachy over at the AIO blog has done some stuff like that, some parodies and some things using that. So I don't want to use that. So if you have any ideas, I would absolutely love to hear them. And you can send those to me by email, feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. And we're gonna sweeten the deal a little bit.
Oh,
oh boy.
Sweeten the pot.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. So if we choose your suggestion and your submission for a title for the AIO trivia segment for ATC, I'm going to send you a copy of the 25th birthday edition of the official AIO guide.
Whoa.
Nice.
So.
Are we eligible to win?
Can I get one?
That's what's important here.
Andrew, he's been asking us for months on end for a name, and we haven't come up with anything.
I know, but he didn't offer us a book. I mean, come on.
If you submit a suggestion, I will get you the official guide. Yeah, so... Yeah, send in your suggestion by email, feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. Our quizmaster, which will be revealed at a future date, he has already got the first four quizzes all ready to go.
Nice.
Whoa.
So I'm really excited about this, and I hope you, the listener, are too. It's going to be fun. We're going to have fun. There will be prizes, too, if you win one of these segments whenever we actually get it launched and you start playing. So it's going to be fun. So send in your suggestions. feedback@audiotheatercentral.com, preferably within 2 weeks of the release date of this episode.
There you go.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
Yes, it is that time again. Let's dive into some feedback from you.
Let's do it. We received an email from Jackson, which is that's probably the coolest spelling of that name I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hi, guy, spelled with an X for those who can't read what I'm seeing right now. Hi, guys. I absolutely love your guys' podcast. I have been listening for about a year, and all of the podcasts have been great. Thanks for the family-friendly episodes. So, it says here that JD replied and asked a question. So, yeah. What was your question, JD?
So, I was just trying to engage listeners whenever they email in and just ask them questions, you know, where they're listening from, how they found us, you know, stuff like that. So, I just asked if he had a favorite segment of the show, and he said he really likes the newscast, Roy.
All right, woo! Go Roy!
1 point for me!
Nice!
Cool.
And he said he also has two favorite episodes.
Well.
And he really liked episode 61, which is our review of Jonathan Park, volume 10. And episode 70, the interview of us by Victoria and Sarah Grace.
Wow. Okay. He must be a big Jonathan Park fan, I would assume.
Must be.
Yeah.
Unless maybe we just did a stellar job on that. I don't know.
Yeah. Or unless those are the only two shows he's listened to.
Maybe. Or was that the show where Austin was in and Roy was out? Hmm.
We're on to something.
Maybe we need to fire Roy.
I know. Just keep him for the newscast.
Yeah, exactly. We can't fire Roy because the newscast is his favorite part, but he liked the show where you weren't there. So what are we supposed to make of this?
Yeah, what's the deal?
I've had other listeners say that their favorite part is the newscast and the jokes at the end.
Hey.
So. Exactly. It's all about Roy.
Yeah.
We all know that that's what makes it fun around here.
Well, and he also asked a couple of questions. He said, what is the average time that it takes to edit the podcast?
Oh, I know a lot about that. I can answer. Yeah, right. I've never even edited one of these. I think JD's the master at this.
Yes, our producer.
Take it away.
Take it away, producer.
And Roy did it for the first, first 10 episodes or something like that?
Something like that.
But I've been doing it for the last few years. And average time is kind of hard because it really depends on how many mistakes we make.
Yeah. How many bloopers are there? Yeah. Well, let's go back and re-record that.
Yeah. So, you know, on average... This is a general rule in audio editing of spoken word content is it's a ratio of 4 to 1. So if your content that you're editing is 1 minute long, it's going to take you 4 minutes to edit. So in our case, it's typically about an hour. So yeah, about 3 to 4 hours editing.
Yep.
So, and part of that is just because I'm very meticulous.
Well, and you have to listen to it. Oh, like more than you have to listen to it more than just once, the whole thing. So that right there, it takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. So sometimes like the last episode, 74, the actual post-production of it took me like 70 minutes, which it was really quick because a lot of it had already been pre-edited. All of the clips from the tour had already been edited ahead of time. So all I was doing was inserting those as we recorded. So the actual post-production on that didn't take as long, but all of that time previously editing all of those clips of all of that audio, because I had, you know, a bunch of audio that I actually recorded, but I couldn't use all of it. Right. So, hey, there you go. A peek behind the scenes of the ATC production.
Exactly.
And he also asked, what is your favorite AIO character? And I think we've had this question in the past, but I can't remember.
I think I said Jason.
Depends on when you ask me.
Yeah.
We all know JD's favorite character is Penny.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And mine is Emily. Yeah. We know that. No.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, my favorite kid character right now is Jay, but Jay's leaving or has left, so I don't know.
Let's not talk about that, please. That's so depressing.
It is.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Favorite adult character?
Record him in England. My goodness. It's preposterous.
Yes.
Don't we have like a London cast director?
They don't want to.
I said that to Nathan. Told him that.
I guarantee you they don't want to compromise the family style recording. That's why they're not doing it. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. I get it.
I told him, next time you guys are over there for Focus on the Family Radio Theater, just grab him and bring him into the sound house. And,
yeah, exactly. You know. Seriously.
But, yeah. So, I don't have a new favorite kid character. He's still, you know, he's still in Odyssey, technically.
Yeah.
He may turn up again, but yeah. Jay is my current favorite kid character. And as far as adult characters, I still love Eugene.
Yep. It's always been Eugene, always probably will be Eugene. I mean, the only one that comes close is Wooten. But I feel like Wooten is like low-hanging fruit. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's like everybody's favorite character, right?
Yeah.
But Eugene has been my favorite for long before Wooten ever came on around. So.
What about you, Roy?
Jason.
Favorite kid character is Jason?
My favorite kid character is Jason.
Young Jason. in Memories of Jerry.
Yes, exactly.
I can't listen to that.
I think I'm going to listen to that one like twice. My favorite kid character, man, Jimmy Bargley.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, if I'm thinking classic AIO, then yeah, that Jimmy's my favorite. Yeah.
Adult character, Jimmy, Jason.
You could say Jimmy.
Yeah Jimmy fine. Again, yeah.
It would be funny if somebody pulls out some random one. My favorite character is Oscar.
Yeah. Digger, digger, dig Willow.
Yeah.
Digger, digga, dig Willow. That's my, every time we get on Odyssey, we're just going to nonstop talk about it. Moving on to our last bit of feedback here. Email from Victor. Hi there. I have just discovered this website, and it's awesome. Oh, thank you very much. What suggestions would you give to make a successful website? I already have one going. Your feedback would be really appreciated. Thanks. Regards, Victor. To that, I say, go find a website guru guy. Oh, we have one. And he has a website at jdsutter.me.
To make a successful website, you need to have two major ingredients. One, good content, high quality content, and two, time.
There you go, Victor. There you go.
So, I mean, we started out with this particular blog and podcast over 5 years ago,
yes,
at the time of this recording. And it has taken us a long time to build up a good following and where we have become a staple in the audio drama industry. I mean, we're holding it together. No, I'm just kidding.
If it wasn't for us.
The audio drama industry would have fallen apart like 3-4 years ago. As a matter of fact, Heirloom Audio was our work, not Bill Hyde's. He likes to claim all the credit, but he knows that it's really because of us that he's doing this. Come on. He just does these great audio dramas so that we can review them. Everybody does it.
But it takes a lot of time and hard work.
Yeah.
And you have to have something unique, something different. If your website is just something that's similar to what everybody else is doing, it's not going to be successful. That's just...
Because it's not going to stand out.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. I've actually had this question and this discussion with another AIO blogger a couple of years back. And my suggestion back then was, a lot of times it's more beneficial to participate in the existing communities online than it is to go start something else that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
In other words, like, instead of going and writing your own blog posts or something like that, reach out to the AIO or the Odyssey Scoop and say, hey, I've got an article idea. Can I write this for your website?
Yeah.
Or for the AIO wiki, you know, contribute to that. And I could almost guarantee that Jacob Isom, who runs the Odyssey Scoop, or Mark Redikop, who runs the AIO wiki, would love to have people contribute to their sites. Those are the two big sites online now, aside from, you know, the official witsin.org. So that's my feedback, is contribute to the existing ones that people already know about and that are already frequenting. And then your name will pop up. Hey, oh, look, this was written by Jack or Johnny or Susie or whatever. And then, you know, you start to build credibility.
And then once you have a base, you're more likely to be able to actually launch your own website and have it matter, so to speak.
Yeah. It's now, the exception to that is if you were writing some really compelling content, there were a few blogs, but they've all stopped. There were a few blogs that were writing really, really good reviews of Odyssey episodes as they were being released. And I read them all because they always brought out some really good points. Sometimes it was things that I never even thought of. So if you're doing that, then, hey, maybe you can. Maybe you can gain a following. But it's going to take a lot of time. So maybe that wasn't exactly what you were hoping to hear, Victor. But, you know, I always say that it's a better chance of getting your work noticed to contribute to an existing platform, even ATC. So we've been looking for writers. We've got a few that have been contributing, Robert Thacker and Austin Peachy in particular. So, yeah, that's my answer. Hope that helps. Well, I think that'll wrap it up for this edition of the Audio Theater Central show. I had a lot of fun. I don't know about you guys, but
yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, head over to audiotheatercentral.com/contact. Show notes are at audiotheatercentral.com/75. And don't forget to head over to the ATC store to pick up all of your audio drama needs. And it helps support the show a little bit. So we thank you for doing that. One last reminder, our phone number, our feedback hotline, 623-688-2770. We haven't had any voicemail in a while, so call in. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com. Oh, I love the G.A. Hinty stuff.
Best. Best of the best.
Dear listener, we are running out of joke material. Please send your jokes to roy@porchlightfamilymedia.com, and we will read them on the air. Thank you so much for listening. That was not a joke.
Man, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm losing it. Laying waste to everyone.
But, well, that sounded terrible. I'm still going through puberty.
So this really appealed to me. So it appealed to me.
We're feeling it too.
What's his name again?
I have no idea.
Bring me my brown pants.
Yeah, exactly. You can edit that out. Something I have no idea.
Go find another website. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's hilarious, man.
Sorry. Now do it like Brian Blessing.
No, everybody dies in the end.
Now that Andrew has ruined it, we will all go home. Thank you for joining
us. Shut it down. Turn out the lights.